grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit is the one who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies me. As Lutherans, we proudly believe, teach, and confess this doctrinal reality that gives all the glory to God, especially when it comes to our faith and to our salvation. We take no credit for our faith. It's not something we have found or something we discovered. It's not something we did or do in order to keep up our end of the salvation bargain. Salvation isn't a matter of quid pro quo, as in God does His part, we do ours, and together we work salvation. No. We actually reject matters of works righteousness. Instead, we recognize faith for what it is, an absolutely free and unmerited gift from God above. Through the working of His Holy Spirit and His Word, He breathed life into these lifeless, unbelieving corpses, creating, sustaining, strengthening, and delivering in us a gift of saving faith. The faith that God creates in us doesn't work or create salvation. Instead, this faith, this faith is like a warm, gentle hug. It is the wisdom and trust to simply hold fast and cling to what God Almighty Himself has already done for us. In this life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it has been done. And yet, how often do we turn around and try and take some credit for it? How often do we try to take credit for the wisdom and the working of God in our lives? Worse yet, how often we completely flip the tables around and instead we treat God as nothing more as like maybe a genie in a lamp or a lowly waiter in a restaurant. He's there just to provide us with the best service possible to us. Case in point, just think about how we treat and view prayer. Prayer is a very good thing. Prayer is commanded by God Himself. He says, when you pray, pray like this. He says, pray without ceasing. Prayer is obviously a very good thing. So as your pastor, I'm highly encouraging you to pray, and pray often. And what I'm driving at is, what I want you to examine and consider is how you pray. What do you pray for? How do you pray for it? And why do you pray? As I just said, we are very good at taking credit for the wisdom and the workings of God, and we can bark out demands and wishes to God as if He's our personal waiter or genie or our bail bondsman or our personal defense attorney. I'm in a jam, Lord. Help me. I need some help here. Just think about how often we boast about the power of prayer. When something goes right in life, something that we prayed for comes to fruition as if we had some sort of a hand in making it happen. Our prayer is what healed that person. Our prayer is what made that medical miracle take place. Behold the power of prayer! No, I'm not making light of it. what about when things don't happen from a result of our prayer? If you're like me, I'm sure you've prayed many good and right things that didn't happen. I'm not talking about winning the lottery either. But what about when you prayed fervently and the cancer didn't go away? A loved one has died. You lost that job. Your children are complaining that they're hungry. Or your family has become homeless. Or the marriage has failed and the couple get divorced. The child never did get the help they needed and instead they ran away. What about the ugly side of life that wins out from time to time, despite the fact that you prayed and prayed without ceasing? Does it mean that your prayer wasn't powerful enough? That maybe your prayer was only like level 4 when in fact you needed to pray a level 10 sort of a prayer? It is really sad, but this terrible doubt and unbelief pops up all the time in the lives of Christians like you and I. Worse yet, it's often taught and promoted as the truth. This is when you hear things like, you gotta have more faith, or you just gotta pray more and pray harder. We'll get together in a prayer circle. We'll all hold hands together. And then God will hear us. One big super duper prayer. That'll do it. Hey, I just bought a book with some really good prayers in it. Maybe we'll use that. Maybe then God will be moved into some action, huh? It is this same exact mentality that had Jesus so worked up in our text today. He was worked up. He was exasperated. He was tired of this. The apostles are creating a huge commotion because they're trying to cast an evil spirit out of a terrorized boy, and they just can't seem to do it. They've been given the power to be able to do that. And this has the father of this boy all worked up. So he finally turns to Jesus himself as a last resort. He says, "Teacher, we tried everything, including your disciples, and none of it worked. If you can make something happen, have compassion on us and help us," he says. And Jesus responds with an irritated astonishment that is so often overlooked. Jesus says, "If you can," you're talking to God. "If I can, all things are possible for one who believes," he says. And this is after Jesus refers to the entire crowd that had gathered there. It wasn't just the man, it was the whole crowd that Jesus was addressing, including the apostles. He was addressing them as a faithless generation. Why the harsh words? Think about it. This is the same conditional test that the devil gave to Jesus when he was alone in the wilderness, tempting Jesus. It's the same conditional testing that the mockers and the slanderers around the cross will hurl at him as he hangs in agony. If you are the Son of God, do this. If you really are who you claim to be, do this. Prove it. I want to see it. I want that proof right here in front of my face. Prove your ability. Prove your power. Prove to me that you are the authority. Change the stones into bread, they said. Jump off the Temple Mount and let the angels catch you. Come down off of that crowd, cross and save yourself. Heal my son and have compassion on us and help us if you can do anything. Oh, and later, by the way, we need some more drinks here. Folks, the apostles weren't any better. This little incident shows us how quickly they let the God-given power and authority go to their heads. They go out on one small mission and experience just a little bit of success, and they return with great joy. They want to tell the Lord all about all the wonderful things that they've done and all that they were able to do. And Jesus responds by telling them that they shouldn't rejoice over these powers. Don't let it go to your head, but instead rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Well, apparently that went in one ear and right out the other. Sound familiar? They were saying the right things. They were doing the right things. They were saying and doing exactly what Jesus had taught them, what they had done before. They were going through all the motions perfectly, and yet now it was ineffective. Maybe their prayers and cries to God weren't powerful enough. Jesus, what did we do wrong? Why could we not cast that demon out? And Jesus responds with words that still vex and trouble people today. He says, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. What does this mean? Well, I'll tell you. Pastor, I get this a lot. I've even had people come and knock on my door late at night and ask me to pray with them for when they are experiencing a terrible difficulty in their life. And they'd like the prayer of a professional. That's okay. That's fine. But the prayer of your pastor is not more powerful or more holy than yours. I don't exactly have an inside track to God above that of yours alone. What our Lord is getting at here today is summed up in just a few verses you all learned in catechism class. The first commandment. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? If you know it, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That's where the true power of prayer lies. It's not in us or anything that we bring to the table. We're not as powerful as God, contrary to what many would think and often believe. All the power lies in the one being prayed to, not the one praying. Think about that. Let that sink in. How often do we treat prayer as a tool or a means of trying to manipulate God into giving us something that we want? Do you know that Scripture never presents or portrays prayer in this manner? Scripture shows us time and time again that prayer is to be that which is humble, blessed, poverty of faith. Remember that bit where Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those that cry out to and take hold of God, trusting that He knows what He is doing. We pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your Lord Jesus Christ prayed this very petition Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane just hours before He willingly suffered all for His Father's just and righteous wrath against sin. He said, Father, if there is any other way, take this cup of suffering from me, but not my will, but Thy will be done. And His Father did answer that prayer. He trusted in His Heavenly Father. He trusted His Father's plan of salvation as being the only one and right way of doing it. He prayed that He would faithfully participate in His Father's will. His Father answered that prayer. Behold, cross. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Right there is proof. Right there is your proof. Proof positive that all things are possible with God. Look in the mirror. God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for you. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to fight and conquer and put to death sin, hell, and the devil so that you would never have to experience a single moment of forsakenness. Christ Jesus was forsaken in your place. He was forsaken and forgotten by His Father so that you would never have to be. In Christ and because of Christ, the gospel proclamation first spoken from the cross on Good Friday rings throughout eternity. It is finished. It is finished once and for all. It is our Lord Jesus who saves you. My prayer for you this day where we rally around the good news of Jesus Christ, and every day, is that you simply hold fast to Jesus Christ and all that He has done and of all that He continues to do, not only for you, but in and through you, for others, for your neighbor. I pray that you pray without ceasing, ever praying and trusting God and humbly asking Him that His will be done. We pray that. We say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To Christ alone be all glory. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.